You're watching Comedy at the Carlson Cast with your host, Mr. Vinny Paulino. Sitting next to him is the barely tolerable Brian Ball. I am the increasingly owl-like Nick Lavasser. And this week we've got April Macy. Now let's turn it over to your host, Vinny Paulino.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Comedy at the Carlson Cast, coming to you live from inside the greatest comedy club in, should I say, the world.
Yes, the universe. Because I don't think the Zark ones have one yet.
I'm telling you, theirs is terrible.
What?
Yeah.
You know what? I'm not even going to respect that. Go ahead, Vinny. Sorry.
No, it's okay. I mean, Brian, you know, we just laid down the gauntlet for intergalactical comedy war.
Yeah.
I challenge anyone from the Zark Comedy Club to a roast battle. Let's do this.
Yeah, let's do it. Yep.
Yep. Yep. This is a terrible opening to a show.
Nerds.
Big time nerds. We're going to try not to be nerds because today our guest is Miss April Macy.
Woo!
We have to act all cool in front of her.
Pretty lady.
Yeah, I know. Makes you sweat. Yeah.
Nick might melt a little bit. Let's see. Where do we know April Macy from? Let's see.
Last Comic Standing.
Comic Standing's a good one.
Snoop Dogg's Bad Girls Comedy.
That's very funny.
Very funny.
And what else, Brian? Name me one more. Howard Stern Show.
Howard Stern Show, all the time.
You know, I'm very interested in that in particular. Not just because, like, you know, I like Stern and everything. I listen to Stern every now and again. I have Sirius in my car. But I just wonder, because he doesn't have a lot of comedians on that show anymore.
He does not.
And when you're a regular on that show, how much does it help? Because, you know, it's just a different world from when, you know, he was, you know, super high ratings back in the 90s and 2000s. So just kind of curious about that. Maybe we could touch on it. Nick, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing super duper. How about y'all?
Never been better, I guess.
Nick has a head injury this morning.
Uh-huh.
It's made him speak in a southern accent.
Everything smells like toast. And gravy.
I'll trade you. Because right now all I can smell is Brian.
Oh.
Yeah. Decaying flesh.
Decaying flesh. Melted candle face, go. Perfect.
It was my there best it one. It didn't feel good. I can't see it because my eyes are closed. But.
Well, I'm excited for today's show.
I am.
It's going to be interesting. I got a lot of questions for. But before we get too far into things, let's take a second to talk about our sponsor, shall we?
Shall we?
Yes, we shall.
Let's start with Iron Smoke Whiskey, baby. Available in two delicious varietés, Applewood Smoked Whiskey or Rattlesnake Rosie's Apple Pie Whiskey. You get it in pretty much any liquor store you want to, or if you're coming to a show this weekend at the Carlson, you know, order your cocktail with a little bit of Iron Smoke in it. You won't regret it.
You won't remember it either.
Hey now, Sapori. Nick, what do we do at Sapori?
Put it in me!
Okay, he hurt himself. He's so excited for Sapori that he injured himself.
The young man is passionate. He's a passionate boy, and he really loves the Sapori Cafe and Catering. I do, too. We go there for lunch all the time.
Absolutely.
And so if you ever want to stalk us, come on down to the Powers Building Atrium.
Don't do that. There's people looking for me.
The IRS is going to show up and drag you away.
Fuck.
And if anybody's coming to, like, confront us in an angry way, I will push Brian into you and run,
ooh,
just so you know. Nick and I will be gone.
Nice.
Tennis Club of Rochester, you could also have some Sapori there. Or you could have them cater your very own special event. Or you could order on Grubhub and have it delivered. Sapori Cafe and Catering. Remember, Sapori, it's Italian for flavor.
Flavore.
I hate you so much.
We all do. We all do, Nick. Three Heads Brewing, baby. What can I say about Three Heads Brewing?
They have three heads.
It's one gentleman with three heads.
Three delicious heads.
And they all speak at the same time in the same tone. It's
and
like those Turpin kids.
Puzzles.
Yeah. Only in puzzles and riddles.
Yep.
Three heads per We always have three varieties on tap here at the Carlson.
I don't know where we found this rabbit hole, but we got to the bottom of it.
You have to answer these riddles three before you can get one. But it's worth it.
And you get a lot of really great beer out of it.
They have some good stuff coming out. Trey Kynes, going to be on tap soon, baby.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man. And how about this coming up at Comedy at the Carlson? Pizza Palooza on April 10th.
And Vinny's funeral is on April 13th.
the lake's on the 12th. This one's going to be a big deal. We had Plate-a-palooza. Now we are going to have Pizza-palooza. Who makes the best pizza in Rochester, New York, apart from my mom?
I have my opinion, but I don't know if they're in it or not.
There's going to be a ton of local pizza vendors giving out samples, lots of drinks, lots of good stuff. Tuesday, April 10th, check out carlsoncomedy.com for more details. And Brian, you ready for this?
I don't know. I don't know what it is, so I don't know if I'm ready.
One night only.
No!
Dolph Ziggler!
WWE
superstar, the show-off, Dolph Ziggler, May 2nd at 7:30 p.m. with special guest Sarah Tiana. And if you don't know Sarah Tiana, she was a big part of the last season of Reno 911.
Yes, she's a very, very funny lady.
She is. Chelsea Lately at Midnight. She's been on a lot of great stuff. So she's going to be here with Dolph Ziggler one night only. And yours truly will be hosting
that
evening.
Dolph just knows everybody.
He really does. He knows me now, too. Mm-hmm.
With a jawline like that, who wouldn't want to
know? Hey, do you want to show a picture of us, maybe? You don't have to show the slides the entire time we're doing this.
He is a
lazy
handsome bastard.
What? It's the proper, it's the ad time, you know?
I think everyone would rather look at Dolph Ziggler than us. I think a static image of Dolph Ziggler should just be most of the show.
It was just April Macy talking. So whenever it clicks to me, just show that slide.
Yeah.
And and then show April Macy's reactions.
April Macy and Dolph.
It'll be the most beautiful show we've ever done.
Yeah.
Gorgy.
We're classing it up.
Or, you know, you could just wear like a green mask and we could just superimpose Dolph Ziggler's face over that like mound of flesh you got.
That's what he does at home.
Ooh.
I hate
you
both.
God, that's what those masks are for.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, we screwed it up.
Just look at the screen, honey.
So, I'll tell you what, boys.
Yes.
We're going to take a break, and we're going to have April Macy in studio back in just a few minutes. But we have a lot of big shows coming up at the Carlson. Here I am to tell you about them.
It's going to be exciting.
There we go.
Coming up March 29th through the 31st, Emma Willman. You may have seen her on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. You may have also heard her on Sirius XM. Spring Break in Rochester, Nuts and Bolts Comedy Improv will be doing a one-nighter Saturday, March 31st at 8 p.m. Check the website for more details on that. Another special one-night-only event coming up April 4th, Upstate New York favorite Kristen Becker will be here. This guy might look familiar to you if you've ever checked out an episode of MTV's Guy Code. It's Andrew Schultz, April 5th through the 7th. Where to start with Ron Funches, April 12th through the 14th. Guy's been on At Midnight, he was a writer for The Crawl Show and a cast member, Drunk History, he's even been on New Girl and Curb Your Enthusiasm. Here's another one that should be familiar, Rochester's own Jamie Lissau, you may know him now from Netflix's Real Rob. He'll be here April 19th through the 21st. Last on my list today, but not least, Asif Manvi from The Daily Show is going to be in town April 26th through the 28th. Don't forget, for showtimes or to purchase tickets, you can visit carlsoncomedy.com or call us at 585-4-COMEDY. Hope to see you soon at a show. Thanks for watching.
Thanks for tuning in to Comedy at the Carlson Cast. Be sure to check us out on Facebook Live every Friday morning. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Carlson Cast. Be sure to subscribe to the audio version on Google Play and on iTunes. And check out exclusive content on YouTube every week. Now we're going to send it back over to the studio for today's interview with your host, Vinny.
I don't know why you, like, throw it to me. How about our interview with our guest, April Macy?
Hello,
April.
Yay! I like clapping.
We like the clapping, too, because we are generally pretty morose individuals, and the clapping snaps us out of it for not
sad
long.
Existence.
Why so sad, everybody?
Have you seen Rochester?
Have you?
Yeah. It's not. Come on.
The sun is shining.
Look, it's a nice day.
Sure, it's 4 outside with the sun.
Nap after this. I'm pretty stoked.
It might be above freezing today.
Really?
I think so, yeah.
It's the only jacket I brought with me.
Not a good move. Not a good move when you head this far north.
Not that smart.
You're past the wall, my dear. So welcome to the studio. It's a pleasure to have you here. April Macy's going to be here for 4 more shows this weekend here at Comedy at the Carlson.
No, just one tonight, one tomorrow.
Oh, there's only 2 more shows.
Yeah, sure are.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's even more fun.
Yeah.
look at that.
Yeah. I like it. So forgive me for making this weird out of the gate.
Okay.
All right. So is this your first time to Rochester?
No, I've been here like 4 or 5 times before.
Right on.
Yeah.
Glad to have you.
So you're getting used to it. You speak the language.
I do.
Yeah.
I ate the plate of nonsense.
That would be a better name than garbage plate. Yeah. Plate of nonsense is a much better name.
I don't understand why we have to force feed it to people that come to town.
The madness plate.
Really
get
it either. It just feels like diabetes on a plate. You're like, oh, that's just
I don't even eat them, and I don't even eat them, and I still tell people to eat them.
Really?
I don't know why.
Come on to town. Come and have a garbage plate. And then when you get to town, like, we'll pick you up at the airport, and then we're going to get a garbage plate. It's creepy. Yeah. It's weird. And I feel like our city, we have so many wonderful things. We got a bunch of great empty buildings.
You guys have the Finger Lakes.
We do have the Finger Lakes.
They're nice.
Yeah.
You have Niagara Falls pretty close.
Sure.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Sure. And then a garbage plate.
And
so
then a garbage plate.
We have a toy museum.
I'm from Eastern Pennsylvania, so we have crayons and silly putty, and that's...
Hey, that's like, kind of kick-ass.
Yeah. That's all we have.
And bad cell phone reception.
Yeah, that's it. That's all we have.
I don't know. Larry Holmes, that's a pretty good get.
It's not bad.
Not bad.
It's not bad. I don't think there's anybody else. The Rock is from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's pretty sexy.
We have Frederick Douglass.
All right.
Yeah.
He's kind of like The Rock.
He's kind of like The Rock.
I don't know.
I wonder if he could raise one eyebrow.
Not anymore.
No.
I'm sure he could if he wanted to.
No, I meant Frederick Douglass.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure he could if he wanted to.
That's one dead eyebrow.
Yeah.
He was the innovator of the people's elbow. People don't realize that. It's actually Frederick
really?
Douglass. Yes.
I did not know
up.
That.
Look
All right.
It up.
Okay.
So, April Macy, two more shows here at Comedy at the Carlson this weekend. I saw your show last night. I came to watch. I had a good time.
Thanks
I had a great
coming.
Time. And you're welcome. You're very welcome.
Thank you.
What'd you think of the club so far?
No, it's great. It's super fun. Everybody here is really nice too. Everybody's like a nice human being. No turdsicles. So far.
Yeah, that's good. Well, we fake it well.
I haven't, and I like that they offered to clean my teeth. Like, I like that I get a weekend of comedy work, and then they offered to take me in for a teeth thing.
I'm guessing
I'm like, dude, can I get Zoom whitening while I'm here? Chappers need some whitening.
I'm not going to lie to you. He doesn't offer that to everybody.
No.
Really?
This is the first I've ever heard of that.
Yes, this is the first
I've
heard of
it. Was every comedian.
Oh, yeah. They
Maybe
all
they
the
just don't talk about it.
Really? Am I the only one that's given up the info?
Yeah, maybe.
Nobody
yeah.
has ever Never, said to me,
No
you
one's
know,
ever said it.
Yeah, no one has ever said to me, we're going to get my teeth cleaned this weekend.
But, you spilled the teeth.
Let's pull up the fourth wall. Dr. Suresh Goel is one of our owners, and he is one of Rochester's premier dentists, pediodontists,
yes.
and whatever
fantastic.
It is he is.
Does he also do Zoom whitening? I'm hoping to get these
He probably
shows.
Does everything.
Yeah, let's just whiten them up.
He's got like five offices.
Clean them, whiten them up. This
whiten
is what
them
I
up.
Need out of my
Power wash them.
Power white them.
Yeah.
So I can have those weird things where out there, you know when you like get your teeth whitened throughout the day, you get like little nerve
things where you start to twitch a little bit.
Yeah.
Is my gum twitching? I didn't know gums could twitch.
Like, what is happening with my face?
April, how long have you been doing stand-up?
I've been doing stand-up since 2002.
Wow. So I'm doing the
and
math on that 16 years.
I started making a living 2006.
Okay.
So how long is that? So, 12 years making my living.
Yeah.
That's pretty.
No other life skills.
Oh, that's all
nothing.
Of us. Yeah, I get nothing. No.
I can pick out throw pillows, but I can't. I don't know how to monetize that. So
literally, stand-up comedy.
Out of luck.
If the art of stand-up comedy, if every club in the country closed and there was no more stand-up, there would be a lot of unemployables.
I have nothing.
What suddenly homeless.
I don't know
like
if you combine
the jokes for how do you put that on a resume? I'm like, do you need a lady that knows a lot of wiener jokes? Like, I can't type, or
do you need the quirky girl in the office that offends everyone?
Yeah,
I can
might
do that.
Be the wacky person.
Yeah.
You might have like a future in HR or something because then you're the one who could get away
can
with
you
everything.
Swear on this?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Loosen up,
girl. That's talking about finger blasting at the office and calling me human resources.
See, I think you would be a good human resources person because they're like, so Jerry was showing this video of a girl having sex with a dog in the office. Like, that's hysterical!
I always find it confusing when people are offended like by that kind of stuff. You're like, well, then leave. You know, you can always leave. It's...
You know,
I used to get.
I used to be on their side, and then now lately, the more and more people get offended, the less and less I'm on their side.
You were with the offended?
I was, yeah,
Why?
For a while.
Why?
I don't know. I could kind of see
He's
it.
He's generally an idiot.
I could see it. You know, I got kids and stuff. I'd think about that, but the more and more people complain, the more and more I'm just shut up.
What
I don't care
anymore.
What
was it that was offending you?
Oh, nothing offended me, but I can understand why people were offended. But now I don't get it anymore.
I think. come on, builds a little character.
Yeah.
With kids.
See, I guess the worry seems to be that everybody is triggered by things or some type of trauma from their past is going to all of a sudden be relived and flash before their eyes if they see a meme of about a dick. Like, I don't know.
To me, that's, like, one, that's so confusing. Like, half the population has a dick, so why are we offended? Everybody's fucking. Why are people weirded out by it?
That's solid, the most solid point I've ever heard about this.
I don't understand. How do you attach shame to the one thing in the room everybody does? Like, that makes zero sense to me. Like,
pooping?
Shitting.
Yeah.
And sex. And, like, the things that people are offended by. I'm like, yeah, but everybody does it.
Shh, Nick doesn't have sex. He's like, you're gonna upset him.
Pardon, I'm not a player. I just crush a lot.
I feel that feel that tooth clean feeling where I twitch a little bit when he talks. I'm not into it.
That's how my mom was last 10 years of her marriage. My dad would pull up in the driveway, she'd just start getting real twitchy. It looked like she was having a stroke. She just hated him so much she'd get strokey when he pulled up.
And this is my husband. The worst.
Yeah.
So 2002, how did you get into stand-up? Were you like, how old were you? Like, how did you first get exposed to it?
No life skills. My dad was the first one to point that out. He's like, I don't think you're really good at anything, but you've always been funny.
My supportive father.
Yeah, he's real supportive.
What do you got to lose?
I went through a bad breakup, and I just tried to redirect some energy. I have no other skills. Like, no, my life had no direction. It's not like I was killing it at the time. So.
Right.
So I just went to the Comedy Store, and that was that. Just kept going back.
So the first time you did stand up, like, how did you prepare for it? Like, did you know what you were getting into?
Went to the Comedy Store. You would have to, the old open mic, you would go and you would sign up at like 10 in the morning and you'd have to come back at 5 at night and you'd pull a number to see if you had a spot for the following week.
The
so it was like a whole process, like a weird lottery. I pulled a number for the following week. I had no jokes written. I was like, I guess I gotta get on stage next week. I better write 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And I just started doing it. And look at now. Here I am.
Here we are.
Here I am eating garbage plates like a champion.
Like a champ. So, you know, that's interesting that, like, a breakup, I guess some kind of type of, like, trauma in your life. Not really trauma, but, like, adversity is what drove you to it. Like, just as...
No, I had a really horrifying childhood. There's no reason to be a lady comic if you're normal and your parents have pudding in the fridge, you know?
Yeah.
There's no reason for this shit. Why would anybody do this as a normal lady traveling around? Like, a lot of times staying in condos in different comedy towns where you're like, oh, I'm just in this rape-murder condo for the weekend trying to peddle my wiener jokes
and
to these
strangers. And that's the actual name of it, is the rape-murder condo.
The rape-murder condo,
They put it right out front.
Sheets, some disgusting male comic there before you, just spooging all over furniture, like...
As we do.
It's not a real lady-like lifestyle.
They do. Yeah. As we do. It's just, you know, it's part of the business.
Yeah.
You can leave whatever stains you would like to, April. Yeah. Do whatever you want in there.
I'm in hotels now.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah. There's a buffet breakfast.
It's as if a waffle maker?
Yeah.
True.
I don't like the waffle makers. I never want to do that weird flip. It's creepy. People are too into it.
I never use it, but I want to know it's there.
Really?
It comforts me to know it's there.
Even the flip, have you done the waffle maker where it comes
at the place?
Pre-measured, you press a button and like your batter.
They drop it in a Dixie cup for you
for your batter, and then you got to make it yourself. I'm like, just give me the waffle made.
I have a rule where I'm kind of with you on this, where I'm absolutely against getting anything from a machine. Like one of those disposable machines, because it's all just disgusting what's
in
there.
But the best thing I've ever had from a machine was in Singapore. It was in 7-Elevens. They had mashed potato machines.
What?
So it would come out liquid, but
would
then
you have to put your hands out to catch it?
No, it was like a little fun-loving cup, and then it would just sort of turn into mashed potatoes in the cup. Like, it would come out liquid, but then it would, like, just
congeal.
Yeah, it would congeal, and then, like, the brown goo, the gravy would come on top. And it was the best thing I've ever... They were great mashed potatoes.
I just put my mouth underneath that thing.
The 7-Eleven mashed potato machine.
That is the most
amazing.
Vile thing I think I might have ever heard.
It was delicious.
And I've been
Google
to
it.
Some
it's
of those
delicious.
Condos. Ugh.
You're clearly not Irish. That's like the best thing I've ever heard of in my entire life.
That's so gross to me.
Gravy.
Potatoes and gravy out of a machine?
Yeah, it's delicious.
Sign me up.
Ugh, I don't know.
All them taters. You see that mashed potato machine?
I'm not exactly conservative when it comes to food.
We can get a mashed potato machine for $1,500.
Do it.
Do it.
Why do we not
But at
have
what
one
cost?
Now?
But at what cost?
$1,500.
But what cost to society? He's like,
we're going to be the ones who bring this stateside. That'll be good.
Does it come with a defibrillator?
You come see some world-class comedians.
How awesome is it?
It's great.
Do you know how happy I would be if there's a mashed potato machine in the green room?
Where
you would be the best.
There's a video of the 7-Eleven mashed potato machine.
Thank you.
You've opened our minds to new possibilities.
Look at that.
Market Bolito's in studio, everybody.
Oh, I love it.
Hey, buddy.
Singapore.
So, April, when you're in Singapore doing comedy, because I have to ask about that, what is that experience
awesome.
Like? Is it
I
really?
Like Southeast Asia had the best shows. Australia last year. I did a lot of.
You do a lot of stuff for the troops, right?
Yeah, I've been to Iraq, North Korea, or South Korea. I've been on the DMZ line, Oman, Djibouti, Africa, Guantanamo Bay.
Show for the prisoners, or
you know what's funny is you could see the detainees playing basketball next door, and to me, there's nothing good. More. Like that's the ultimate form of torture is just women telling dick jokes next to you.
Yeah, it's true.
They just like, who are these empowered women?
Oh no,
well, they're sass.
At least they got a break from listening to Creed.
Yeah,
isn't that what they pump in their cells? Wasn't it Creed?
I think it is actually.
Yeah,
no mashed potato
what
machines.
What they force them to listen to?
Just Creed.
Just playing basketball.
And see, that doesn't sound terrible.
No, it's not so bad.
Cuba, the climate's kind of
it's
all right.
Lovely.
It's lovely.
I got bit by something in Guantanamo Bay.
A Cuban?
My ankle swelled.
Was it a Cuban?
No.
Was
it? Oh. No Cubans.
Well, at least they have that like wonderful Dominicans. Medical system over there for you.
No, I got bit and then they fucking sent me a bill.
What?
I had to write and I was like, listen, I was over here performing. And it was, like, expensive. And I'm like, you just gave me Benadryl and a shot of epinephrine for my fat ankle.
And that's, and what'd they charge it?
It was a few grand.
Holy shit.
I had to write them and be like, no, I'm not doing that.
That's really bonkers.
I was
bonkers.
Over there doing something nice. So give me my Benadryl.
I was there upsetting the Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah.
Detainees.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
was there to upset them for the country. And now I got a $2,000 bill and a swollen ankle.
Yeah, and the guy was like, did anybody notice I had one giant swollen ankle? And the guy that was, like, taking us around, the military guy, was like, ma'am, I was just concerned you had fat ankles, ma'am. And I was like, what? You thought I had one fat ankle? Just one?
You're a monocankle.
Like, who am I with my one fat ankle?
It's 2017. We don't judge. 2018. We don't judge. You can have all the fat ankles you want in this country, and I will not be offended by your fat ankles.
I could totally see some straight-laced Marine dude, though, just not wanting to mention it.
Yeah. I'm like, no, it's just one. You didn't think that was odd that my leg is just swelling as we're walking?
So you said you went to South Korea, too?
I did.
Was that to do shows?
A lot. Yeah, I've been to Korea 4 times to do shows.
Interesting.
U.S. military bases. All the bases.
Mainly, so mainly you're performing at bases then?
Yeah, you're always on bases. Like okay. When I went to Southeast Asia, I just did shows.
Uh-huh.
Like, they have clubs. Malaysia was fantastic. Great club. It's new.
Do they have
there.
To have like an interpreter
so,
for you? How
no,
do they do it?
Everybody speaks English. We're the only moron country.
Yeah, we are, yeah. aren't we? Yeah. We're pretty
my
good.
My fiance speaks 4 languages. I can't remember the Farsi word for pear. That's where I'm at in my life.
I never learned it.
Yeah.
Never bothered.
Can't. Yeah. My brain just rejects information.
And that's the beauty of the American mind.
Yeah.
We don't need it.
It's like, don't know, thanks.
We are above knowing things. We don't need it.
I got
knowledge
is
not important.
It is confusing.
I got a phone.
Brighter.
I'll figure it out if I have to.
Yeah.
That's my
all
opinion. I'll just Google it.
4 to 7 languages. Everybody.
Get out of here.
Everybody. We're the. You go everywhere and they speak multiple.
And it's not like we don't try, too.
No, I took 4 years of French, and I know my name.
Right.
I can count to, like, 3.
And it's still April Macy.
Yeah.
In French.
It. But you just say it with a ridiculous accent. Yeah. Yeah.
And I took 2 years of Italian in college. My professor perved on me a little bit, but I retained nothing. He told me I was a cardinal of sin waiting to explode. I was like, whoa.
A cardinal of sin.
Waiting to explode.
Wow.
And that's reference to the red hair, I take it?
No, I'm blonde, naturally. I don't know. I think he just he wanted me to go on this Italian trip and give me the 1-2.
The old uno, dos.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of one, too, for Italian. You beat me to it.
Well.
It was good. I don't know.
Holy shit. Like, so that's got to be...
I'd put that on a business card, though. Cardinal of Sin waiting to explode.
I don't even know what it meant. I was just so dumb. And every day, I think I was blonde at the time, and he kept saying Bionda, Bionda, which I think is Italian for blonde. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But I always thought he was talking about behind me. So I always turn around. But, you know, I didn't study. I didn't learn.
I only know one Italian word, and it's sapore for flavor.
Flavore.
So I got to ask this question. Mm-hmm. You've been doing comedy a long time. You've traveled all over the world.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're telling me you dealt with a creepy professor. What is like the weirdest thing the weirdest way you've ever been approached at a show when you've been on the road?
I got felt up by a blind man.
Well, that's how they see.
Yeah. No, I was on this tour for this syndicated radio show. And my ex at the time was there, and this blind man went to take a picture, but then he did, like, an under-tit scoop. Like, he knew what he was doing. He knew if he went up far enough, he'd get some under-tit.
Uh-huh.
And then my ex at the time was like, buddy, just because you're blind doesn't mean you get to go grabbing tits, all right?
He was just trying to get a good look.
Yeah.
That's like the creepiest.
No, I had somebody that called my hotel room in Tempe. That was pretty creepy. Wow. He was like, I've been calling all the hotels around the club. He was so excited. I'm like, I'm not J-Lo. I'm just a fucking comic.
So
that's
like,
creepy. And it was Halloween. So, and he's like, I'm going to be at the show tonight. And I was like, oh no, he's going to be in a mask and he's going to murder me.
Did he talk to you after that?
No. I think I was terrifying. I think I scared him.
Yeah, like, God damn it. It's very weird. I watched somebody, we had Jessie Mae Peluso in here a couple weeks ago, and I watched someone ask her out on a date at the bar, and it was pretty, and I just realized that's got to be a real part of being on the road.
No, it's terrifying as a lady. I've always said having a vagina is like living in a bad neighborhood. It is, all the time. You're just in a bad neighborhood with your badge. Everybody's trying to break in and vandalize, and it's terrifying.
Oh, God.
You're going to steal the copper piping.
Yeah.
Terrible.
It's terrible.
It's terrible. Jesus. So, like, 12 years on the road, you've gotten to do a lot of interesting things. Yeah. I have to say, one of my favorite clips, and Brian and I laughed incredibly hard, it was the Snoop Dogg show.
The most hilarious crowd work moment I've ever seen.
Oh, with the guy with the broken
hand. Yes!
Yeah, it was fantastic.
I'm legally not allowed to show the clip, but Brian, fill everybody in on what happened.
So
here.
You were making a very witty masturbation joke, and you said... pointed a guy in the crowd and said, right fella, or whatever, and he stuck his hands up.
And he put both his hands, they were both, like, broken. They were both, like, who brings both? What kind of tumble was that? Wild jerking accident.
And you're like, and you just go, oh, you have two broken hands. So matter-of-factly.
It was just so funny. Confusing. Well, and they were different colored casts, so it had happened, obviously, at different times. Like, nobody's wrapping up one black, one white.
Yeah.
Could be a Raiders fan or something stupid.
He was overcompensating for one and broke the other.
Yeah, something happened. That's probably what happened.
That was hilarious, though.
Thanks.
Well, one of my favorite things about watching you is your crowd work. You really are a person who lives in the moment when you're on stage.
I try. It keeps it fun for me.
Yeah, it has to. But that's also a skill that not everybody has, like where, you know, a lot of people are material-based and they like to go into a story and tell a story.
Yeah.
You're very much in the moment with the crowd. Was that always kind of the way you were, or did it take you a long time to...
I guess I remember watching people that, like, the people where the audience was always really with them, you realize by corralling, like, so... I remember watching, you know, I don't remember who it was, but it was like one table at a time. They would go to like one table, and you realize for each of those tables, that's like an experience they can take home. Like somebody has a nickname that's now something that they're going to laugh about in the car. Like,
right.
So the laughter kind of follows them home, I think,
right.
When you go into the audience. And I think it's kind of fun. You get, sometimes it's just good to get jokes out of it.
Sure.
Like that dude that was angry at that man eating a salad yesterday. Now I feel like I can go back and write 5 minutes on, you know, how
I was in Rochester.
Guys get mad at salads. Salad eating man.
It's like, that's not a garbage plate.
It's like, that guy's eating a salad. Just furious at him.
That was very funny.
Yeah.
That was very funny. So I guess my question for you now is, you kind of, I don't want to say mastered it, but you live in the moment, and that's a big part of your act. Do you write towards that, or do you just find that it happens?
So I think a lot of my writing is just when I'm home, and then, like, a friend will be like, oh, that's really funny. Do you say that in your act? Like, I think that's now a lot of my new jokes. I'm like, oh, no. I'm like, oh, write that down. That's good. And then you write that down, then you incorporate. Or you just keep talking, and then you go, oh, I can add that to that bit. So something that starts off as a joke becomes a 5-minute bit, and then all of a sudden you have a 20-minute chunk just based on doing crowd work and, like, talking it out. Like, I think if you trust, I don't think a lot of comics, especially when they're starting out, you don't trust your funny, which is maybe why you don't do as much crowd work.
Right.
But once you trust that, I can go back to something funny, but let me see where this takes me. Like, you always have that safety net.
Sure.
To kind of,
it took me a long time to trust my temper.
Yeah?
Because I would get angry. But
at how hard he was bombing all the time.
No, like if someone someone interrupted me, I would get, instead of making a joke out of it, I get mad. But now I don't.
I can feel when I cross over and I start to get heated because I have that Polak rage. You know, it's just bubbling all the time. My fury, my angry.
There's
angry.
Polish rage. I didn't know Polish that was a thing.
It is.
I thought there was just Polish happy.
Oh, it definitely is.
No, Polish rage. It's like my dad's a furious, angry Polak with a giant watermelon for a head. So. The apple doesn't fall. The big-headed apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
I would watch that. I would watch that TV series.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good one.
So two more shows this weekend with April Macy. One tonight, one tomorrow. You get your tickets at carlsoncomedy.com or call 585-4-COMEDY to get your tickets now. And right now, folks, we are monitoring the Comedy at the Carlson Facebook page. If you have any questions, feel free to submit them. April Macy, I have a question for you.
Yes.
We have this little part of the show where every week we ask one particular question to every performer that comes through because we try to use the show to talk about comedy and help people kind of learn a little bit about the business and things like that. But we also try to encourage people who are just getting into it and trying to start comedy. Do you have any advice to anybody who's never stepped on stage before and wants to?
I think this is probably one that it'll take 10 years to start to find your voice. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it just takes years and years to get good at it. And if you remember, like, I think when people bomb, I remember I had bombed in some comedian that was pretty huge. I got off stage at a club and I was crying after my set. And he was like, why are you crying? I was like, oh, I bombed. And he's like, well, we all bomb. Like, why do you think you would be the one to, like, go through your entire comedy career never having a bad set? He was like, that's just part of it. So think of it as just getting them out of the way. Think of it as having to bomb 2,000 times. So you're just crossing off bombs until you get good.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at
it. So just keep, you just have to keep getting up there. And don't be discouraged because everybody stinks in the beginning.
Right. So everybody does stink in the
beginning.
Everybody stinks. Everybody stinks at the beginning. Except
I look at tapes. I remember I used to have this one weird stance. I would just stand like this. And then I would like play with the mic cord, like I had this nervous habit.
Was that how everybody like knew it was time to laugh?
I was just nervous. Like I was just like, just feverishly just playing with this cord, just jerking.
Like it's
cord.
A cat's tail.
And
just like,
my
oh.
stance was so weird. Some man came up and he's like, is there something wrong with your hips? Like, I thought I had, like, he's like, do you have hip dysplasia like a dog? Like, what is that?
Some of you watch, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Some of you watching the stream notice that we're having a little trouble with the internet streaming today. I apologize, folks, but we're still here and we're still broadcasting. And if you missed any of this, the full episode will be up later today on YouTube, and you can watch that. So apologies.
No worries.
We're talking about important things here.
Yeah.
So
bombing.
Yeah, and hip dysplasia.
Yeah.
You need to go to a comedy club that's part owned by a hip doctor.
Yeah, I did at the time. And then I started moving. I realized I didn't move on stage. Every week I'd give myself little assignments. Here's what I would do.
Now, that's really interesting.
Little assignments?
Yeah.
Like I would be like, okay, you get comfortable within your space. Like, I would give myself assignments to learn how to move on stage. Just walk back and forth as you deliver a joke. Or do a joke sitting down because it makes you more conversational. Like, I would go through in the beginning, and mm-hmm. I would make a list of your top 10 favorite comics and then write down the qualities that you think make them great. And that's really the kind of act that you're striving for. So if you like energy, word choice, physicality, if you like the, you know, certain joke style, joke structure, like those are the things that you need to develop. So if you go, okay, how do I work stage presence? How do I work on stage presence?
Right,
I remember I'd be in like a shitty bar doing jokes and there's a pool table in the back and you're like, if you could get people to pay attention, you go, all right, I got stage presence. So you'd work on that.
Yeah.
Like sort of one element at a time.
Right. And see, I think that's something that a lot of people miss is, you know, like you said earlier, it is definitely a journey. Like you said, it takes 10 years at least to kind of start to figure out your own voice. But I guess that's really solid advice, because the way to find your voice is to realize what you relate to and what resonates mm-hmm. with you.
What do you like? And why? So what? Like, if I look at my favorite comics, it's like, I'm like, well, I still don't have the vulnerability yet of, like, a prior. It's like, you want to extract that, and you don't realize that quality might take you 15 or 20 years to kind of
yeah,
add
he was
to the,
very
to the toolbox.
Candid about himself and his, you know, everything about his life whenever he would get going. And that's not...
And that's hard. It's hard.
Very much so.
Like, I just did a TED Talk, and those, like, the storytelling moments where you're quiet and you have moments of vulnerability were the things I really struggled with. Like, I started to get choked up the way I did mm-hmm. when I first started comedy. I could hear my voice shaking. It got, like, a little tinny and weird. And then at one point I was like, oh, my God, I might cry. I'm so fucking nervous.
And see, that's crazy because, like, you're definitely out of your comfort zone because usually you're going for a laugh.
Well, that's what it was. Like, as soon as I would get in those... And that's what I struggle with on stage, which is easier to do dick jokes than to tell my fun-loving family stories, which... I know is kind of where the gold is,
right,
but
right.
it's still yeah. scary to get there because the payoff is you don't have that hard laugh right away.
Yeah.
You
right.
have to like take that time with that. So
and see, that's also the art of writing and being a good storyteller
mm-hmm.
where that comes in. And so I find that your approach of the little assignments
yeah.
is really, really smart. And
no, if you, and scientific. I would also like... I kept, I was crazy. Like, I was obsessively driven in the beginning.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, that's been beaten out of me. But I used to have, like, I'd have notebooks of set lists, and then I would go back and I would listen to every set, and I would grade each joke.
Oh, jeez.
So if I look back, it would be, like, C, D, that joke was an A, that popped. And then I would take all my jokes that were, like, C and below, and if they got Cs for more than three, they would go in a retooling notebook.
Then, why do you hate yourself? April
no,
Mason?
This is like fascinating.
Like, I can't imagine doing that.
Really?
Oh, I'd want to kill myself.
Really? Why?
Yeah.
I mean,
because
I
of all the D's.
So
yeah, yeah. Because
of all
because
of
D's
all the D's
I
he's gonna have.
But I knew that, like, I guess it clicked that it was like, because you would have those A moments, and you were
yeah.
like, how do I string together
right.
A, maybe a B in the middle, you know, like a decent report card every show.
Well, the brilliance behind that, and I'm like in love with that idea actually. Is that you are telling yourself that this needs to be retooled, and it's okay not to just scrap a joke. It's okay to take it here and maybe pull it out
later.
Of the act, pull it out of the act for now,
mm-hmm.
and work on it. And literally,
a
that's how you
choice.
Get polished. Yeah,
like, that's what like you would realize. Like I did this joke about my dad, and then I would deliver this line. Like at the end, it was "You're just a fat man." The punchline is "You're just a fat man yelling about cheese." It came from this woman he had yelled at McDonald's.
Right.
When it was delivered by me saying it, like "Dad, you're just a fat man yelling about cheese," it didn't get a laugh. But as soon as I made it the McDonald's employee,
right,
it gave it like a new angle. And it just all of a sudden this joke works. So you can
right.
just take one thing or even just one word choice.
Yeah.
Or you can make one funnier word choice and all of a sudden that joke has a new
it
life.
It all just falls in. And see, that's another interesting point of it is not just scrapping things that might not be working.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is of
no,
something people get in the habit of.
Retooling. And a new set of eyes. Like maybe if you put it aside for a while.
Sure.
And I would also do, I think about how driven we had this little girls, like female comic circle. We would do living room sets for each other to
right.
work on stage presence and delivery. We would
uh-huh.
get together and we'd have these writing sessions where sometimes you don't feel like writing, but we'd all throw random topics you would never write about. Like I would never write about action figures
right.
or, you know, microphones or whatever it was. You'd throw it in a hat and everybody would pick and then we would free write for 15 minutes. And then we would read it. And you could, like, they'd be like, oh, that's funny. And you would extract something, and then everybody would tag it, and then we'd go try it that night. So we'd do this little writing session,
right.
and then we'd take that joke and try to, like, get it on its feet, and then we'd do it again with those jokes that maybe worked, and then we'd have, like, another retooling writing session day. So it was always, like, these little work assignments to get better.
Right, and see, that's great. That's really, I'm just wrapping my head around this because the thing that I want anybody who's watching this to really take away from this is there's a lot of work that goes into being a comedian.
Oh, nobody realizes.
Oh, yes,
yeah.
And that's the thing. It's like there's so much, and that's discipline. What you're doing there is discipline. It's not just I can write funny things and I could say funny things off the fly. It's mm-hmm. I could say funny things on the fly, but I could say it better, and I'm going to make sure I say it the best way.
You realize, like, things that different people are better at. Like, my ex was much better at jokes, like, structuring an act than I was. He's like, oh, that could go here, and then that mm-hmm. should go there, and that'll make more sense.
Sure.
You could piece those together. But I think I'm good with, like, really visual words. Like, my word choice is very specific, so I could give him, like, a word that was funnier.
Right.
It's also, go to your friends that are better at something than you. It's kind of that Richard Branson. It's always like, he employs people and surrounds himself with people that have skills he's not good at.
Yeah.
If you know, you also have to acknowledge what you're not good at. Like, are you a better writer? Are you a better performer? Like, what skill set do you need to work on more? Because it's obviously easier to go to the thing you like doing and that's easy.
Right, right.
Then you got to work on what's hard for you.
And that's where little assignments can be very healthy.
Just little assignments.
Very healthy and helpful.
And watch yourself on tape. That one's hard. Nobody ever does that. I used to watch obsessively. Like, I'd take a tape and I would watch it 4 or 5 times where it wasn't painful anymore. You get past that. You're like, oh, God, that's horrible. But then after a while, you can really start to have honest eyes after about 5 times watching it.
Sure.
Yeah.
And you can go, oh, that's actually kind of good what I did there. Or
right.
I record and listen to myself all the time, but the videos, I mean, I look like this. I don't want to see that.
Okay. So, would you move or are you stationary?
I move.
This
a bit.
Is about the extent of how much
I move
you
a bit. I'm not really moving. No, I do a couple act out things, but I'm not like a pacer.
Well, that's also like this is how crazy I was. I would also time act outs. Like
interesting.
Like the qualities that I like. Like I like an act out. Like so, I would time like, say if Chris Rock does a physical movement at the end. Like how many seconds is he saying that thing or how many times does he repeat it?
Right.
And you go, oh wait, he did that physicality for 30 seconds. That's a long time. And you don't realize it when you're on stage. So if you're doing a physicality or something, time it out. Because the longer it is, you can extract that laughter from it.
It's exactly right.
So when you go, oh wait, 30 seconds, I only do it for 4. Because 5 becomes a little uncomfortable for me, but it's in the 7, and that's when people will abandon a physicality or something. But it's in 10, 15 seconds later, it's when you get that another pop of huge laughter.
Right. And I always also take note of when people are doing a physical act out on stage, because usually it's a physical act out combined with a punchline or combined with a setup.
Yeah.
And the way the way they marry, you know, the physical act with the words and how they are doing them together is also very interesting because that's how a joke is made, I guess.
I couldn't tell you. I guess it's different. It's different for everybody,
right.
I think. I don't know. Well, I mean, to me, Chris Rock, Wanda Sykes have very similar, they always end a joke with, it seems like with a little bit of physicality or like a little pop. They have very expressive faces.
Yeah.
That's something I always liked.
Yeah.
Carol Burnett said, back in my day, we didn't have jokes, we had faces.
That's a great line.
You used to sell things.
Yeah.
You forget that this is also a tool.
Yeah. And that goes way back to like old vaudeville stuff where that's a big lesson. I really enjoy talking shop with you.
Yeah, I love talking comedy. I could do it all day.
I can too. I'm such a nerd about this stuff.
I'm a nerd, and then I can tell you about all my different notebooks.
All right.
Much to hear about it, guys.
Can I ask you that? This is kind of a dumb question, and if you don't want to share it here, what is there ever been a joke that you were just like super, super proud of that you sat down and you workshopped in your own way and then just and never went over?
I have an anal joke that I'm writing that I think is hilarious.
All right.
I remember the first time I was asked for anal, it was Thanksgiving 2001. I made my first Thanksgiving dinner that day, and then the son of a bitch had the nerve to ask me for the anal. I was like, dude, I made a turkey, and now you want to fuck me in the ass? what am I, an Indian? Right? Great. I'm like, what's next? You're going to burn down my wigwam and give me smallpox? No thanks to that trail of tears.
Okay, so let's discuss, why do you think that joke didn't go over?
I think men tend to tap out as soon as I say fuck me in the ass, and
right.
then they're residing for the rest of that joke.
Right.
So to bring them back out of that is they're not there. the men aren't there, and it's so, I think when you talk about anal, it's so startling.
Right.
And then at the end, I'm like, but that's a great fucking, that's one of my favorite jokes.
It is a good joke.
It's a great joke.
I combined a disgusting sexual act and a piece of American history, and I smushed them together.
Boom.
For your amusement, and it gets
like
a hassle.
LeBron throwing the chalk in the air. It's
like,
amazing.
It should have been your, like, I feel like that joke should get the reaction I just got from you, it's, but it gets like,
Well, it's because we're not normal people.
No,
that's why.
No, it's an hysterical joke.
Yeah, it's hysterical.
Like,
yeah.
Like
I have jokes like dark jokes that I love.
Yeah,
like I have a clitorectomy joke that I think is fantastic.
And it's the only one in the country.
Yeah, it's the only clitorectomy joke going right now. But
I'm googling
that.
I'm gonna find out what is a clitorectomy.
It's like when
genital mutilation.
Ah,
yeah.
Is that the technical term? Is that like a medical?
I'm like, what's the joke? There was a doctor in the Sudan who performed over 100,000 clitorectomies. I know what you ladies are thinking. He's a doctor, and he knows where the clit is. Well, hello, doctor. Perfect.
Like, so
he's the kind of guy you'd bring home to mom if he wasn't always chasing her around the house trying to lop her clit off. That's one of my favorites.
Lop her clit off is one of the best phrases I've ever heard in my entire life.
We might name that. That's what we're going to name this episode.
It's a dark one. Doesn't do that well. It's hard to make the AIDS-y grandparents funny. I've been trying to make that funny for years. Turns out grandparents croaking AIDS ain't that hilarious.
Got weird. No, it didn't. Now I'm like, did your parents die of AIDS?
My grandparents did.
Both of them?
Both. Open heart surgery, 81. Passed it to my grandmother. She died like 94.
Blood transfusion.
So, wow. Right. So,
in the early.
Frogs AIDS?
Yeah, both my grandma and my grandpa. I've been trying to make it funny, though. Like, I'm far enough removed from it where, you know, you try and it's like people are just so, like, taken aback. They're like, what the fuck is she talking about?
There's not a lot that's sacred to you, is there?
No, I think that's what life
there shouldn't
should
be, though.
You should be able to, like, it caused me enough. I dealt with enough pain as a kid dealing with it. Now, like, when people get mad at it, I'm like, wait, but it's my life. How are you going to get angry at shit I went through?
Right.
Like, this is my story I'm trying to make funny.
Yeah, you're the only one who has a right to be upset about it.
From the pain a little bit of it. Because what else do you have in life but to laugh?
Yeah. And I mean, in a lot of ways, it's...
Mark just slow clapped for you.
We'll join it.
So, like, in a lot of ways, though, people don't understand that it is your life. I think they just kind of look at it as she said this about this, and there's this.
She's making fun of AIDS.
And says, no, I'm making fun of the fact that my grandparents are dead.
Yeah.
See, it's a different thing. Yeah. It's a different dark thing.
That's all you can do, right?
Yep.
Try to make it hilarious. Yeah.
Do you ever get protests and anybody ever give you a lot of grief?
Oh my God, I got screamed at by an old man at the Borgata in Atlantic City, it was horrible. And my family was there,
night.
And I had a good set. Like, it was really confusing. Like, I was like,
not
my grandparents. This old man. It was horrible. Like, and I had had some stinker sets. Monday and Tuesday were a little rough, and then Wednesday I finally had a good set, and I'm at merch table, and my family's there.
Feeling good,
right? Ready to sell my what dumb shirts did I have? An orgy is an adult version of Duck Duck Goose t-shirts.
I like it.
and this man came over to me and he's like, all you do is run men down. I was like, he's just screaming at me.
Was he like an ex's dad or something? Like, what happened?
He was just like a man who I think probably was still upset that women had the right to vote. And women all of a sudden,
he hadn't gotten past
that. Women was
talking
about dicks and he had just fucking had it. And my dad was like, she's great! And then chased this old man around the casino. Like, yeah.
Did you immediately whip out your cell phone camera and film your father chasing, yelling at him?
I was crying. I was sad.
No,
like,
fool.
I was like, all I want to do is make people happy. And then all these people saw me crying and they saw what happened. And then my mom sold out of my orgy shirts. She had a stack of cash when I got back. She's like, people saw you crying. Everybody bought your shirts. So my mom was just man in my orgy t-shirt.
That always makes it feel better, stack of cash.
Yeah, it does.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to have our in-house old man, Brian, scream at you tonight in front of the merch table.
I've had some... My favorite thing to say now, like when...
She'll recognize me.
Do you ever have this where people come up to you and they'll say something in front of you just so you can hear?
Uh-huh.
Like, they didn't like you, but they'll say, like, to my feature, and be like, I just thought... And like if some old man, yeah. I was like, it doesn't matter what you think, sir. You'll be dead soon. Yeah. And I just turn away. That's my favorite thing to say.
Hopefully AIDS.
When people are horrible, yeah. It doesn't matter.
Is that the standard demographic of your haters are old people?
Old men.
Yeah.
Old guys men. Hate you.
Yeah, old. And not a lot of old men, but there's been a handful of old men that have had some real disdain yeah. for this lady right here.
So you have a type.
I got a type, yeah.
So, Curious. Ladies, get your grandpas, bring them out to the show tonight.
The best letter I ever received was a man in Salt Lake City who told me my act was the reason ISIS was gaining strength in America. Oh, it's the best one I ever got.
You have a lot of fans overseas.
No, he did. He also said that my act was obviously a result of the feminist movement and that I was going to be a bear, like, not essentially that I was going to be childless and eventually kill myself. So that was a fun letter.
Wow.
Nice. Mm.
I wrote him back. Oh, he got a letter of his own.
Holy shit. Like, people really do get ballsy when they feel like they have the right to just critique
it's your... It's so fucking confusing, because to me, I'm like a comedian. When people are like, oh, I hate that comedian. I'm like, you hate that person who's empty, that travels from town to town, stays by himself, isolates, in hopes of bringing joy to strangers? Like, that's yeah. who you fucking hate? That's your pick? Asshole. Just trying to sprinkle some fucking joy into your face?
I enjoy deconstructing the world with you, April Macy.
Thank you. I could do it all day.
All day long.
All day.
Well, I'm going to let you get out of here because I know you want to take a nap, but you got
to take a nap. I'll get my choppers cleaned.
Yes.
Nice. Ooh.
Cheryl's doing it up.
Oh, Cheryl's doing it. Okay. We thought it was going to be, we thought Suresh was going to slide in for this one.
All right.
One last question for you, though, and this is just kind of a personal curiosity for me. You're a pretty frequent guest on The Stern Show, and he doesn't have a lot of comedians on.
I've been on a few times.
Yeah, like you're on, I was just in my car, and you're they were replaying your interview from a few years ago.
My Lance Armstrong.
Yeah, that was quite
That's
a story.
One of my favorites.
And I'm not going to steal that story because you did it on there. If you would like to have a good old listen, Google April Macy, Lance Armstrong, Howard Stern.
People reached out and asked me to take, retract that story. And I was like, no, it's true.
I have not heard it, but I'm eager to.
I'll put it to you this way. April Macy walks into a bathroom to find her friend face first in Lance Armstrong's ass. And Lance was like, you want in on that?
And she's just like, gobble, gobble.
Oh, no.
I've met Lance several times, and he's an asshole.
He was a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And then this is what bothered me. It's whatever. I don't care if that's what my friend's doing. She was a rancid whore.
Sure.
And then he was like, he came out, and he was like, does your friend want in on round two? I'm like, one, you don't know my name. You want me to eat your asshole, and I don't know your name? We're going to have to get on first-name basis.
Sure. Good rule.
Like, no, thank you. I'm going to wait for my whore friend and eat your mini bar snacks.
And, and I guess my question is, like round two.
Yeah.
That's really
like you need it again.
I think that's another round. I think that's a once a day thing.
Yeah.
Tops.
Close up shop.
Yeah.
So like you do when you do a Stern show like that, and like I said, he really doesn't have that many comedians on. Like most of his I don't know. I've listened a lot and like it seems he does like a lot of Hollywood people and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering like how does that affect like attendance at your shows? Does it still really, really help? Like it did back in like the late 90s, 2000s? Okay. That's all. Just wondering.
Like, it definitely got me, like, I do have occasionally, like, people that come up and are excited because they're big Stern fans.
Sure.
But
yeah.
I think it was just my own ego that it really satisfied more than anything. Because I have this picture of him, like, with his open mouth, hearty guffaw laugh at one of my jokes. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, I can die now. That's all I really
That's pretty good. Yeah, that's a pretty good accomplishment.
Like a head back. It was like a head back laugh. And I was like, I did that.
Gotcha.
No other skills, but I did that.
Is that like the top of the mountain, obviously, for interviews? Being interviewed by that guy is pretty...
I was proud of myself. I did a TED Talk like two weeks ago.
Yeah, awesome. Let's talk about that. TED Talks? Yeah. Like, how'd you get into that?
I was doing shows in Providence, Rhode Island, and one of the comedians, his girlfriend, was hosting this TED event in Newport, Rhode Island. She was talking about it at the bar. I was like, oh, I've always wanted to do one. And she was like, yeah, anyone do it? And that's how it happened.
Is that how this works, though?
And I was like, yeah, I do. But I only had like 3 weeks to kind of prepare it. So I was super anxious.
What did you discuss?
Using humor as a tool to get over pain and finding the humor in life and extracting humor from painful situations.
There it is.
Yeah.
There it is.
Choosing happiness.
Is it online?
It'll be online in a few weeks.
All right, well, so keep an eye out on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Proud
you
of
could
that.
Have a good pretty happy proud. Cry.
Pretty proud of that one.
Yeah, I would be too. Yeah. I would be too.
Cross it off.
And I mean, it sounds like a topic that's kind of near and dear to your heart too, a little bit, I would say.
Yeah, like I think everybody should wake up. Like you, I feel like you can choose happiness. Like you can obviously you have some sad situations in life, and you can have situational depression, or if you have chemical depression, that's different. But
right.
You can wake up and you can choose how you see a situation. Like it.
Yeah.
It's not that bad. Like, I had a pretty shitty childhood, and I'm doing all right now.
Right.
To get through it.
You seem to be laughing about it.
I seem to be laughing about it. It's fine. Yeah. You can laugh at anything.
Yeah, you really can laugh at anything.
Even AIDS and your grandparents.
Even AIDS and your grandparents. Sorry for chuckling at that a little too hard.
I know, it's funny.
No. It really is kind of funny. Like, my grandpa was kind of a dick, so I might have wished that on him. So now I'm kind of like...
My other grandparents were fucking evil.
Really?
My mom's parents were...
There's one where I almost wish it on him so he'd have to explain to his friends how he got it. They would have just all given him grief. Because he just mocked me, this guy. He was just like, oh, the fat one's here. Yeah, didn't like him much.
Beat it, scram.
Beat it, scram. I'm going to make fun of you on stage in 10 years.
Yeah, my alcoholic grandmother was, my mom's side was pretty bad. I remember the day she died. Like, she was such a horrible person. My dad called me. He was like, ah, your grandmother died. I was like, all right, I'm going to Pilates.
All right. I'll remember her while I'm doing squat thrusts.
I'll feel bad for mom, but...
Yeah.
I'll film like a little video for the funeral. You can show the family if you want.
Yeah, I don't.
I ain't coming.
No, I'm not putting that much energy into... She was a horrible person. And she won the lottery twice, so...
What?
Yes. Yeah. Like a half million and 1.5, so...
So this is a different grandma than the AIDS grandma.
Yeah, the nice grandma.
Because that wouldn't have been two wins and a loss. That would have been two... Three, that would
nice
have been...
Nice ones got AIDS, shitty ones win the lottery. So life is not fair.
Yeah.
There's the lesson today.
That's the lesson.
April Macy, two more shows this weekend. Get your tickets now, carlsoncomedy.com or 5854comedy. April, can we plug your website? Or
you
is there
can.
Any...
AprilMacy.com, Instagram, April Macy, all the other things. April Macy.
All
I'm
the
getting
April...
married. I'm getting married.
Awesome. When are you getting married?
September 2nd, Santorini, Greece.
Ooh, fancy.
Yeah, fancy.
Who's the gentleman?
He's a lovely Iranian man who lives in Italy. His name's Arya. And
like sorry. Stark?
Like Arya Stark. He has a lady's name from Game of Thrones. He has the name of a strong woman.
I won't ask about the size of his sword.
Oh, you don't know.
Hey. You're killing.
Hey.
Exactly.
Because Arya has a very small sword. That's why it's a joke.
Yeah, you're...
Because Arya's sword is small.
I'm going to ask you to leave the studio now. I'm just going to... Nick, no more clipping on Brian. Just delete his camera.
You want to see my dress?
Yeah.
Oh, I shouldn't show it online. I'll show you guys later.
Okay, I would love to.
I show it to the camera, and then I forgot my fellow watches shit.
All right. Well, April Macy, you are a delight.
Thanks.
We wish you best of luck with your marriage. And
I hope
Arya knows what he's getting into.
Oh, he already knows. He was like, I know that I love you much more, but you're crazier. I was like, you're right. You really know me.
And see, that's the thing. Like, you can't, with marriage, you can't have two equally crazy people get married. There has to be two different levels.
So stable and so normal.
And see, there's a craziness in that, too.
You think so?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
You'll find it.
I don't trust it.
When you're living together in Italy.
I don't trust normal people.
Really? Yeah, never.
I do. The family's nice. Like, it's just this mom, like, makes us, like, hot water and lemon and, like, lines up healthy snacks. It just comes from, like, good stock. Like, my mom drinks and paints Michael Bolton, so...
You're okay. I was trying to end this. Now I have so many questions.
Google my name and then Michael Bolton, and you'll see one will pop up if you Google it.
Will do.
Right?
Nick, I might just have to pull that up on the computer.
Right now. Do it immediately.
Hold on a second, Nicholas.
I think you'll be excited.
April Macy.
Just be careful when you're in Greece that you don't accidentally buy the whole country.
Because the economy is poor. Not good. Their minimum wage is $500 a month.
Jeez.
Yeah. I'm going to get a donkey. Nice. I can't wait.
The tone of voice in which, the tone of voice in which you said that.
Yeah. There it is.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
That is beautiful. Can I buy it?
Do you want it? It's huge.
We would put that in the studio all day long.
It's huge.
You can take it off my computer, bud.
All right.
But, yeah, we would totally put that in the studio. I'd put it right in there next to the Rodney portrait. It'd be beautiful. All right, April Macy. We'll see you soon. We'll see you tonight. You are going to miss out on quite a bit if you do not show up this weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun. Todd Youngman's going to be there, too.
He's the best.
Well, he's there. Just kidding. We love you, Todd.
He photoshopped some stuff for my TED Talk for me, and I was hilarious. Me as a sad clown.
I love it.
Yeah.
Todd's a pretty helpful guy.
He's super helpful.
I don't know why I keep Brian around when Todd's running around here doing things, but whatever.
He's too busy.
We'll see you next week, folks. Hit the credits. Thanks for watching.